Anybody love Jesus in this place today? You are kind. You can be seated. It is such a pleasure to be with Shoreline globally. We all over the place. And I just am so grateful that Pastors Earl and Onika would fly me and my family in all the way from McKinney. Long journey for us. A little helicopter ride. No biggie. And Earl and Onika, I hope you know that you have some of the best pastors on the planet. I hope you know that Earl and I have been friends for a very, very long time. I feel like he's like a brother from another mother. And there has been so many times that he doesn't even realize that he has spoken life into my soul when I need it the most. And so what you hear on stage is not just, it's not a staged thing for him. This is who these people are. It's how they treat people behind the scenes. And I would be remiss if I didn't take a moment to honor your pastors. Make some noise for them. They're watching online. We love you guys. I also have my family with me. My beautiful wife is on the front row. We also have a picture. This is our Easter photo. We didn't post it on social media. We wanted to save it for Shoreline. Like, this is just for you. We got a Jackson, who is our 9-year-old football player, basketball player, 2-sport athlete right now. A lot of work for me. That's another story for another day. We've got little Roman, who's about to be 5 years old. We live in the North Dallas area. That's me and my happy family. But today is about what God wants to do in this place. I don't know if you knew this, but I truly believe with all of my heart that God put April 7th on his calendar just for you. And maybe you're here today, maybe you're not even a Christian, maybe you're friends with one, they invited you, they sent you a link, maybe they tricked you into coming, they say, hey, let's get some coffee, and you ended up here. I just want you to know that's a really good friend. It's a really good family member, that's a really great coworker in your life, because here's what they believe. They believe that you have great potential and that God wants to do something in your life. And I don't want you to miss it. Dare I say that God doesn't just have a plan for you. I believe God has an assignment for each and every one of us. And I don't want you to miss it. Today's message is entitled, if you're one of those note-taking people, it's called Tag, You're It. Okay. Look at your neighbor on the right and say, Tag, You're It. You can do it in Frisco. It's okay. It's all right. Look at your other neighbor and say, Tag, You're It. Don't get up and run, okay? This is not the game. It's just a message title. I absolutely love the Bible. I love Genesis to Revelation. I love the Old Testament. I love the New Testament. I love the maps in the back. I love the Bible. And one of my favorite parts of the Bible are the letters written by a guy by the name of the Apostle Paul. He wrote letters to first century churches on how to be the church. And now what I love about these letters isn't just that it set theology and conduct for churches for the last 2,000 years, but I love the greetings and I love the outros. His intros, his outros, especially Romans 16. I don't know if you've ever read Romans 16. It feels like the Apostle Paul just won a Grammy, okay? And he's just giving his shout outs to his homies, okay? Like, if you could go with me to Romans 16, verse 1. He says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister. Not the one from Friends. This is a different Phoebe. But Phoebe is in the Word. You just need to know that. Who is a servant of the church in Centuria. Verse 3 says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also to all the churches of the Gentiles. Verse 12. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa. I ain't never met nobody named Tryphosa. If there's a Tryphosa in the building, God bless you. This is awesome. Who have labored in the Lord, greet the beloved Perses. I know a Perses. I know one Perses who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus. I know a lot of Rufuses. Chosen in the Lord and his mother and mine. Greet everybody and they mama, okay? There are 36 names just in Romans 16. He is not just talking to the church, which is macro. He also gets micro. He's getting personal. And sometimes, if you are carefully reading the letters of the Apostle Paul, he will start putting names in and he'll put their business in the streets. I don't know if you ever noticed that Paul will call you out. Like, you'd be like, hey, Paul, that ain't even necessary. This is the Bible. But you got to see 2 Timothy 1, verse 15. He says, this you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me. That's a generality. Okay, Paul, we get it. Paul ain't done. He said, no, I'm gonna give you two names of exactly the people. He says, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenesis. They names sound like terminal illnesses, like the doctor gonna come out and say, I don't know how to tell you this, but you got Phygellus. I don't know what to tell you. Here's the deal. When we get to heaven, let's just say Phygellus and Hermogenesis made it, okay? Whenever we meet them, it's gonna be real awkward. Be like, hey man, what's your name? Phygellus, you're gonna be like, dang. Man, I can't believe, I don't know what you did, but you in here for forever, okay? Like, you and I can make mistakes. We all have made them. We just haven't made them in front of best-selling authors. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is forever. And Paul's like, I'm putting your business in the streets. You're done for eternity. Then he also gives a positive. It says, the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me. He was not ashamed of my chain, but when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. If you are the Apostle Paul's friend, every time he come around, you ought to just start worshiping, okay? Because he gonna put whatever good or bad you do in the book. And then I love what he says in Colossians 4:14. Again, very peculiar. Says Luke, the beloved doctor, sends his greetings, and so does Demas. Okay, Demas, all right, D-E-M-A-S. But then in 2 Timothy 4, verse 9, it says, be diligent to come quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Hey, Demas was, he sends his greetings. A couple letters later, Demas has given up on his assignment. I don't want to judge Demas, because any one of us can find ourselves in a Demas kind of situation. He says in verse 11, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Then he says something in verse 13 that is very odd. He says, hey, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. My bad, I left it at your house. Like, you got any friends that are forgetful? They can't never find their stuff. They always lose their phone, their keys. They always like this everywhere they go. You know what I mean? And that's the Apostle Paul. And if you're wondering, like, this is the holy word of God. Why is he giving shout outs to his homies? And why is he talking about forgetting his coats at people's houses? Because what I want you to know about the word of God, it is very powerful, but you need to know that it is very personal. We're talking about regular people like you and me that sometimes forget our stuff at other people's houses. And I want to zoom in on a guy. A hidden gem, if you will, in the text. He writes a sentence to a guy in Colossians that I think is going to change your life. Because it's very interesting in Colossians how this would work in the church of Colossae. Historians and theologians would tell us that this was probably a house church. Not a big church. We don't know the size of the house. Could have been a big house. But what would happen is they would receive a letter from the Apostle Paul, and then they would sit in the center of the room and read it out loud for everyone to hear. It wasn't like everybody had their own copy of Paul's letter, okay? There was no printing press. There was no Bible app, okay? It was one person, one orator. It was their job to read out loud Colossians. So let peace rule in your heart. Clothe yourselves in humility. Be seated in heavenly places. All of these iconic Colossian verses are being read out loud. And then somebody in the center of the room would have to read Colossians 4, verse 17. And it says, and say to Archippus, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. I just want you to get this scene in your head for a second. Imagine we're all sitting in church, right? And we're all sitting here and we're having a good time. And all of a sudden, and it's macro. Here's what we all should do. But then all of a sudden it's like, and say to Archippus. It feels like he sits in the balcony. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, hey, I see you back there, Archippus. Paul says something. He says something to all of us, but he got something. He wants to holler at you for a second. Archippus, he said, be sure to carry out the ministry that the Lord gave you. Who's Archippus? I don't know. But what I do know about Archippus is he's on the cusp of missing his assignment if it wasn't for a mentor that sent a letter. He's somebody that's this close to missing his potential if it wasn't for his pastors to say, hey, but before y'all end the service, can you just holler at Archippus for a minute? Make sure you carry out the ministry that the Lord gave you. Who's Archippus? You. Who's Archippus? Me. Because any one of us is this close to missing our potential. When I stand before Jesus Christ someday, I want to make sure that I simply reached my full potential. Can I encourage somebody this weekend that perhaps thinks that God has this performance-based relationship with you? God is more interested in your potential than your performance. He sent you here on a mission not to just exist, no, but to have passion in your heart and purpose in your steps. We are all Archippus, and we cannot miss our potential. I love what 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18 says. It says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Given us. Macro, us. Not just Earl, us. Not just Onika, us. Not just Ryan, us. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, the Apostle Paul's going, guess what? You got good news. Live like it. Live like you got some good news. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. Another version says, not counting their sins against them, which is very, very good news. And has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You and I are repping Jesus Christ everywhere we go. Grocery store, mall, Lower Greenville, first date, first interview. You could be having a baby at the hospital and that doctor might need to know Jesus. Your soccer coach, teacher, we are all ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are all in full-time ministry. All of us, everywhere we go, because I promise you, everywhere you go, somebody's hurting. But you're there. I have never been more excited to be a Christian in my entire life, because I wake up every day realizing that God is going to put someone in my path who's hurting. And I think, thank God I got good news. Thank God I got hope. Thank God I got peace. Thank God I got joy. And today I hope you feel empowered to go to work on fire for God. This is not some, this little light of mine, let me hide it and then I'll shine it at church. No. We're a light on a hill. We get to be Christians. God has given us an assignment. Perhaps you are familiar in Mark chapter 5 with a woman who has an issue of blood. She's been sick a long time. And she infamously reaches out and touches the hem of Jesus' garment, and she is made whole. It's a powerful story. Most people think her story is done in Mark chapter 5, but I think her story actually continues on in Mark chapter 6. Perhaps you've never seen this verse. It says in Mark 6, verse 56, it says, wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, this is what they did. Watch. They laid the sick in the marketplaces. Where? Where are they taking sick people to the marketplace, not the hospital, the marketplace, not the synagogue, marketplaces, and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. She has gone viral. She is trending on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. This is what's happening. People are going, did you hear about a woman who was sick for a long time, touched the hem of his garment and was made whole? Now, when Jesus comes into town, he starts talking, hey, Jesus, you ain't even got to say nothing. This is what we need you to do. We just need you to sit right here in the marketplace and wear long clothes, please. That's all we need from you. This woman's faith triggered a whole set of new faith for other people. And it's happening where? Marketplaces. In fact, I was so intrigued by this verse, I went and did some math. I looked in all four Gospels, and I wanted to look at all of the miracles of Jesus. I didn't want to just look at what the miracle was. I wanted to look at where the miracle happened. Here's what I've discovered. 91% of the miracles Jesus performed in the Gospels were performed outside of the synagogue. It's crazy. It's like Jesus was thinking, for us to reach outsiders, we might actually have to go outside. So yeah, Jesus is doing the synagogue thing. He ain't got no problem with the temple. But then at one point, Jesus goes, I am the temple. So I better get moving, because there's some people that may never come to the temple. And here's what I know about you and what I know about me is we all got family and friends who, let's just be honest, they're not coming. You can trick, you can bribe, they're not coming. I think that's okay. And the reason I think that's okay is because church is on the move. Who do they have? You. Tag. You're it. You're who they got. I don't hoop as much as I used to, but I love playing basketball. And as I've gotten older, I've watched more people tear their Achilles, and I just go, that ain't for me. So I meander around the gym now. But when I was playing a little bit more, I used to play against this guy named Andre. Okay, Andre was a tough guy. Like, always want to fight people. Talk like that all the time. And I'm not a tough guy, okay? I'm not going to fight you, okay? I'll sue you. I'll call the police. We got security here. He'll fight you for me, okay? That's another sermon, okay? That'll preach, okay? Let God fight your battles. Anyways, I ain't got to fight you. I ain't got nothing to prove to you. Why go to jail for no reason over a basketball game at Lifetime Fitness? What are we doing? You know, it's like, it's not that serious to me. You can have the ball. I'll quit. Like, I don't care. But Andre, just all the time, just yelling at people, cussing people out. And he's very good, too, very hard to guard. And, like, that anger, like, fuels his game. And one day they were like, Ryan, you got Andre. I was like, oh, man, I don't really want to guard Andre. I'm a nice guy, you know. And so I'm like, I got to figure out how to guard Andre. I got to figure this out. And so I walk over to Andre. I was like, what's up, man? He goes, what's up? I said, man, can't you just turn it down for a minute? He from Chicago, and Chicago just feel like they got something to prove all the time. Like, can you just be easy for a little bit? And I noticed he was wearing a wedding ring. I said, man, hey, Andre, man, I didn't know you was married. He went, 10 years. I said, gotcha. I done found your soft spot. All right, this is good. And it was getting close to Easter. I said, hey, Andre, you got anywhere to go to church on Sunday, man? I said, man, I'd love for you to come to my church. He said, no, I ain't going to your church. I was like, man, I get it, but man, like, well, why don't you reconsider, you know? It's just like, well, I feel like we got a thing going now. Like, we're friends now, you know? He's like, no, I ain't going. And then some guys around him started laughing. They're like, did you just invite Andre to church? I was like, yeah, why not? He goes, oh, Andre got a big issue with church. I said, well, what's the issue? He goes, we don't know. But it is odd because, ironically, his son is studying to be a pastor at Gateway Church. And I was like, well, that's interesting. So I'm going to just tell you how I live my life. I pretend that this happened. I don't know if this is true. I'm totally making this up, but I believe it's true. And it forms my actions and how I live. This is what I believe. I believe there is a young man at Gateway Church studying to be a pastor. And on a Monday morning, he falls to his knees and says, God, I pray for my daddy. I pray that he would come to know you. I pray, God, that he would have a divine appointment. And oh, God, guess what? My dad loves basketball. If you could send somebody to Lifetime Fitness at 12 o'clock on Monday that loves you, that would be great. Is that true? I don't know. But here's why I think it's true. The only reason you are sitting in the seat that you're sitting in right now is because somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for you to be here right now. And so I just live my life like, hey, somebody that I'm sitting next to on an airplane, somebody that I see at a Starbucks, somebody's praying for them in their life. It might be their grandma, it might be their sister, it might be their brother. But guess what? I'm here right now, so I might as well share the love of Jesus with somebody. I want you to feel so empowered to be a Christian today because we actually have good news. I don't care if you sell auto parts. I don't care if you work at the mall. I don't care if you work, you change oil for a living, sell medical devices, wherever you are. Tag. You're it. You didn't just slip into Frisco. You didn't just slip into San Antonio. Your friend didn't just drag you in Guatemala City. You didn't just come in Antigua and just stumble your way in. You're not just sitting behind the sound booth and you go, well, he can't see me. God can't see you. And he's been trying to get a hold of you for a long time. He's had his calendar marked for a long time. April 7th, 2024. This is when he's going to get back in the game. This is when she's going to get back in the game. Archipist, this is not a spectator sport. It's all in. We need everybody. Now, here's the deal. You might be here today trying to go, you know, I'm in, but I don't really know what the ministry is that the Lord gave me. I want to give you three things today that I think you should pay attention to, that I think are going to help you understand the ministry that the Lord has given you. Number one, process of elimination. The process of elimination. I'm going to encourage you today to serve. I'm going to encourage you today to join. I'm going to encourage you today to go all in, to go, you know what, Lord, what are the gifts that you have put on the inside of me? What are some things that I need to practice? I loved growing up in church because I got to try everything. I ran sound one time. Y'all, was the worst sound we ever had. My brother's here. He played drums at our church growing up, and one day he was sick, and I tried playing drums, and it was like, this is terrible. Like, no, that was the last time I picked up the sticks. It was terrible. I tried going into What a Beautiful Name the other day in church, like tried to like ramp up with the worship team, forgot the lyrics. It's like, stay in your lane. You know what I'm saying? You might be trying to sing with the worship team here. You're going to catch a hernia trying to be them, okay? You need to be you. And what I love is what we find in Matthew 25:14. It says, for it will be like a man going on a journey who has called his servants and entrusted to them his property. This is Jesus talking about how the kingdom of heaven works. And he says, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. This is the best part. To each according to his ability. In other words, there are things and abilities that God has given me that he's not given you. And there's things he's given you that he's not given me. And so there are things and passions and skill sets that he's given you to say, hey, I put this on the inside of you so that you can be my ambassador where you are. In fact, sometimes I believe that the only way to figure out the ministry that God has given you is to understand the ministry he didn't give you. Because sometimes we'll compare the ministry that God gave somebody else and go, well, that's not like, do I need to be more like them? No, you need to be more like you. And so for me, my journey has been very interesting. I've always loved the church. I went to a Christian school and got a business degree and got a minor in Bible. So it was like, I could run a business and I could preach. We'll see what happens. And so preaching took off for me way earlier. as I, again, practiced different things in serving throughout the church. And then one day, somebody in the church said, hey, I really love that message. Could you come do that at my business? And I was like, I can figure it out. Yeah, sure. So now I got to take a 30-minute sermon and make it 60. No biggie. Then she says, hey, can you do an 8-hour seminar with our whole staff? And I was like, for a fee, we could talk about it. You know, I was like, well, we got to figure this out. And anyways, I said, yes. Why did I say that? I have no earthly idea. But I was just going, Lord, is this something that you want me to do? And then I remember I was preaching at a church here in Dallas, and somebody from the Dallas Mavericks was in the audience, and they said, hey, we think that you could add a lot of value to our staff, so would you come and just figure it out? And before I knew it, I was speaking all over corporate America, and so now I have this interesting dichotomy of a career. I get to teach God's word on the weekend, and then this week I'll go speak at a couple of corporations in America. And it's interesting. I have friends who are like, man, just start a church. Oh, man, I think that's a compliment. That's great. That's cool. And then you're like, no, dude, you got to leave the church and go all business. That's just how that works, because if these corporations know that you're a Christian, then they won't let you come and speak. And I go, you might be right. That was 5 years ago. They keep asking me, so I don't know what's going on, okay? And they got Google. They can find out I'm not just a Christian. I kind of talk about it all the time. And so I'm like, but when I show up, I just try to be good at my job. And here's the deal. It's the ministry that the Lord gave me that can reach the marketplace and can help somebody with their faith. And it's funny, when I sit with C-suite executives now, I can say, I think your people are hurting more than you know. How do you know that? My other job. On their darkest day, they come to where I work. So, and guess what? They don't got to come to my other job for me to help them tomorrow. So I can help them on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday. And so some people go, man, can you teach me how to do what you do? No. I can't teach you how to work out the ministry the Lord gave me, but I can teach you how to fall to your knees. I can teach you how to hear the voice of many waters and the whisper in the wilderness of what God has called you to do, to figure out the ministry that the Lord gave you. And I think some of us got to get off social media for a little bit and get on our knees. Because sometimes when you're looking at everybody else live their life, you start going like, well, man, I need to start doing a little bit more of this. Or some of us believe that the ministry God gives us has to be big and grandiose. Perhaps I'm supposed to tell you that you're a world changer. You're not. You're an apartment complex changer. You're a one job changer. You're a neighborhood changer. You're a grocery store changer. You're a Lifetime Fitness changer. Like, don't get unrealistic with this thing. Some people have been given the ability to change the world. Some people have been given an ability to change their family. But don't forsake it because it's small. Don't forsake it because it's a humble beginning. No. In the process of elimination, you should wake up going, Lord, use me wherever and let me figure this thing out. Be a moving target. To say, Lord, I'm not just going to sit on the sidelines. I'm going to raise my hand and say, I'm a volunteer. I'll serve. It may not go well. You don't want me in the children's ministry. I'm very impatient with children. Listen, if your kids start crying while I'm in there, I'm calling you immediately. I don't care what your mama doing. We're going to take her. We're going to see them right now. Like, but there are some people that have been graced with that. They've been favored with that. Like, and they've discovered that. Are you even on the path of discovering everything that God has put in you? The second thing that I think is important to pay attention to if you're trying to discover the ministry that the Lord has given you is the position in your life. All of us are in a very unique position. I love what 1 Corinthians 7 says. He says, he's talking about singleness versus marriage. It's an interesting text. It says, I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided in the same way a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. I am saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. So the Apostle Paul's, and I'm not trying to give you some rules right now, but here's where he goes. He says, I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. If you're married, carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. Oh man, my kids, man, it's tired, man. It's just nonstop. I get it. But carry out the ministry the Lord has given you as a married person. Oh, and help your spouse carry out the ministry the Lord has given them to, and encourage one another, and encourage your kids, and use your voice as a parent to say, hey, guess what? I want you to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you as well. And if you're single, ready to mingle, chosen to be posing, scoping and hoping, come on, ma, so, hey, I see you. Whatever you are, carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. If you got a good job, carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. If you got a bad job, carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. If you got no job, you're like, man, I'm looking right now. You got time, my brother. Carry out the ministry that the Lord gave you. Whatever position you have been put in your life, you go, man, I got a little bit of bread right now, man. I'm doing pretty well. And then carry out the ministry the Lord gave you with the wealth you've been given. And be very generous with your resources. You're like, oh, I'm in leadership. Then carry out the ministry the Lord gave you with leadership. You say, man, I'm just a coach. Then great, guess what? Do you wanna know where the angriest people on the planet go every single weekend? Soccer fields and basketball courts, and parents bring in all of their insecurities, put them on their children, they all get on one field together and start yelling at each other. It's a problem, but guess what? You're there. So carry out the ministry the Lord gave you on a field, on a court, in a gymnasium, everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, the position that you have been put in, some of you just don't know why. You might go, why do I even go to this church? Know why? Absolutely know why. You should be here today going, I don't want to just be a spectator. I need to go to join. I need to really just be here. Lord, why do you have me in this position? You should be asking yourself that question. You go, man, I'm getting ready to quit this job. Before you quit, be very good at your job. Be early. Be phenomenal at your job. You're a Christian. You're an ambassador of Jesus Christ. People should see your work ethic and go, what is it about you? It's like, man, I got hope. I got joy. I got a Savior. I got an anchor for my soul. I come to work. I bring my very best, not because I work for you. It's because I work for somebody else. I'll never forget, I was speaking at a corporate event, and I had this long book line. I signed a bunch of books, and there's always one person in the book line that doesn't have a book, and I'm always nervous about that person because I never know what they actually want. You know what I'm saying? There's always something up their sleeve. I'm like, oh, here we go. And so she walks up. She goes, hey, I don't have a book. So I go, yeah, that's no problem. I said, how can I help you? This is what she says. She says, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I felt like I was supposed to. My son has an incurable disease. And I don't know why I felt like I should share that with you. This is all I said. I know why. It's because I serve a God who specializes in incurable diseases. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your son that he would be healed. And you should have seen these people in line. They were like, we ain't never seen that at our job. I'm like, she asked me a question. I told this company, I am there to serve your employees. They might need inspiration. They might need to learn how to work better with their teams. Oh, and guess what? One of them has a son who needs help from a God I serve every day. So I'm not trying to impress my religion on you. Something drew her, and I just went, I know why I'm in the position God has put me in. Do you know why you live where you live? Do you know why you work where you work? It doesn't have to be an ideal job for you to be an ideal person. To say, God, this may not be where I want to end up, but it's where I'm at right now. So regardless of who I think is watching me, know that God is watching. And so show up in the position he's put you in. The last thing I think we should be paying attention to for us to discover the ministry that the Lord has given us is the pain you've been through. Your pain is a great indicator of what you might be able to take somebody else through. Divorce sucks. But your life ain't over. And your assignment is not over either. Maybe you've been cheated on, perhaps the worst feeling in the world. But if you could go to get your healing from God, if you can find wholeness in Jesus Christ, you might be able to help somebody else who's gone through the same thing and do the thing they never thought was even possible. Move on. Maybe you've had a lot of people talk about you. Maybe you got fired. Maybe you've had some health challenges. I love what we see in Genesis 50, verse 20. Joseph has been betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery. God turned the story around. Ended up being second in command in the land. And he says this to his brothers: "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Here's the perspective that Joseph had. He said, my pain has a purpose. And perhaps my pain is a part of the ministry that the Lord gave me. Maybe you lost a loved one. That's hard. I've seen people lose a loved one and not recover for decades. I sat next to a guy on a plane 2 days ago. He said, my wife died and I just miss her like crazy. He apologized for drinking too much on the plane. He's like, dude, I'm so sorry about the bourbon, man. It's just tears in his eyes. I miss my wife. My pastor actually passed away 3 years ago. And it was very tough. Very, very tough. And his widow, her name is Pastor Sid, very good friend of my wife and I's. Unfortunately, about a month ago, we also had another friend, single mom, who lost her teenage son to cancer. Her son passed away at 4 a.m. on a Monday. And this mother sat with her son for 8 hours after he passed. And it just so happened that my wife and I, we showed up to the hospital at the exact same time as Pastor Sid. And a nurse comes out of this room and says, hey, is there a Pastor Sid here? And a Pastor Ryan and Amanda, hey, she'd like for you guys to come back. And all I can tell you is my wife and I got a front row seat to a master class on how to show up for somebody in their darkest hour. Never seen anything like it in my life. She literally sat next to her bedside and she said, Sid, I don't know if I can go to church again and worship again. And Pastor Sid said, it's okay, baby. I'll show you how. Like, just in case you think anybody that has hopped up on this stage got a smile on their face and they ain't never had no problems in their life. No, they just walk with a limp. They just brought their pain to God. I wonder how many people showed up here today with a little bit of church hurt. It's not that the people on your left and the people on your right, it's not that they don't have any. It's just that they walk with a limp and say, God, I'll serve you anyways. I know some people talked about me, but I'm gonna serve you anyways. I know my pastor hurt me, but I'm gonna serve you anyways. And I'm gonna carry out the ministry the Lord gave me. And I get it, some people are just like, man, Ryan, I'm just in one of those seasons. Christians love seasons, right? We got seasons for days, you know what I mean? It's been a resting season. I'm in a little sabbatical, you know? Take a little sabbatical for 10 years. You'd be like, man, it's been a while, you know? Archippus. Tag. You're it. We need you. And I know you have some legitimate reasons not to be in the game. There's somebody else on the other side of your obedience that you haven't met yet. And all of a sudden, when you get activated at your job, at your complex, in your neighborhood, in your cul-de-sac, you'd be surprised whose life you could change. God's got an assignment for you that I don't want you to miss. We only hear about Archippus in one other place, and it's found in Philemon chapter 1. The Apostle Paul, writing his letters, You love his intros. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. Also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier. And to the church that meets in your home. Who's Archippus? He's a connect group leader. Oh, what scholars believe in the chronological order of Paul's letters is that Colossians was written just shortly after Philemon. So connect group leader in Philemon. By the time we get to Colossians 4, verse 17, hey, Archippus, I see something might be happening in your life that made you fall off the horse. Make sure you carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. What happened between Philemon chapter 1 and Colossians 4? Life. Ups and downs. Yet Archippus has a mentor and a pastor who is stopping the church service just for a moment and says, I know we've covered a lot, but let me just say to Archippus, make sure you carry out the ministry that the Lord gave you. And perhaps I need to pause this service for you. You might be sitting in the back. You think you snuck in, you didn't. God orchestrated all of this. I can just only imagine what would happen when a few thousand people start to be church on the move in Dallas, Texas, and in San Antonio, and in Guatemala. And they just decide to say, you know what? There's somebody in my life that God has put there for a reason. Tag. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give each and every person an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord and the Savior of their life. Maybe for you today, you've fallen off the beaten path. You've fallen off the horse, as they say. Maybe today's the day you get back on. Maybe today's the day you rededicate your life to Christ. Maybe today's the day you say, you know what? I want an assignment. I want my life to have purpose. And maybe today's the day you surrender your life to Jesus for the very first time. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand and say, hey, Ryan, that's me. Ryan, that's me. I see your hand all the way back there behind the sound booth. That's awesome. Anybody else? Anybody? I see your hand. That's awesome. Anybody else? I see your hand, ma'am. I see your hand, my guy. I see your hand. That's awesome. I see hands all over the balcony. Anybody else? We'll wait for you. I see your hand back there. I see your hand. I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand, young man. I see your hand, too. Anybody else? Hey, can we all say this prayer together? Say, Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for my sins. I ask now that you would be the Lord and Savior of my life. I surrender my past, my present, and my future to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it. Amen. Come on, can we make some noise for every single person that gave their heart to Christ?